Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
All right, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, we are here today. After an amazing Twitter beef with two different people about this movie.
Well, let's clarify. You had a Twitter beef. Yeah. I came in and played good cop and was like, guys.
True.
It's just
true.
A cult classic. Let's just agree to disagree.
Quit being
it
the
got
good
heated.
Cop. It did.
It
I called somebody
in
a dummy.
Three tweets.
I apologize.
Within 1.5 tweets, you called somebody a dummy.
Yeah, well, I use dummy as a lovingly term. Anyway,
it doesn't read that way.
I'm Josh McCuga at Josh McCuga on Twitter. Next to me is Ben Bagley at Ben Bagley Comedy. You guys know him as the star of a Hallmark movie.
God damn it.
Where's Love? I've been looking all over for him. And
I'm going to be 42. We're still going to be doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
And you're going to be coming up with new shitty names for a real movie. And everybody's going to be so confused.
And next,
my IMDb page.
And next to him, star of stage and mostly screen, stand-up comedian, very funny guy, very good friend, Jeremiah Watkins.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
How are
we brought you on because you contacted me a couple weeks ago and wanted to come on some shows, and I was like, absolutely, promoting the movie I Lived, which you are the star of, character Joshua Fosse as... Describe your character.
As Bob Fosse's son.
Yeah, exactly. I play an online app reviewer who downloads an app that mysteriously improves his life, but slowly starts to tear him apart.
Nice.
Is that the tagline? Because that's amazing.
Yeah. I pulled it from one of the blog interviews. Yes. I'm like, that encapsulates the movie the fastest.
It sounds like the first time I discovered internet porn. It at first improved my life and then started to tear it apart.
Yeah, it's like Snood freshman year at college.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is the most amazing game ever. And then I would go to sleep and just see Snood pieces.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful. So when did you shoot? It's out now on...
It's out now on iTunes, Amazon, select VOD. Check your local cable listings.
Oh, yeah. Comcast kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then it'll be out in a month on DVD, I think, August 11th.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man.
And we shot it a couple years ago, so I'm very excited that it's out.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how with independent films it can take a minute?
It takes forever. It takes way longer than you think. And we shot it pretty quickly, and I was like, they're like, maybe like around Halloween time, and then.
Halloween 3 years later.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, Halloween, like 2.5 years later.
You were in dress as your character on Halloween. You're like, this doesn't make any sense. Fuck.
Nobody gets my
You guys will understand in 2 years, I promise.
Yeah.
And is there a website? We just watched the trailer online. It looks like a ton of fun. Do you get to, or is there any nudity in the movie?
There is. I have a sex scene.
Yes!
Every guy that finds out I have a sex scene, they're like, oh, sweet, dude. Yeah, I can't wait to see this movie. I'll support you, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Do you show your dick?
I don't, but...
Good.
Yeah.
Now, for our listeners out there, because I've had to do love scenes as well, I have never had to actually full-on get my fuck on, hashtag get my fuck on, but I've had to, like...
It's already trending. It's crazy.
I've had to, like, grope with underwear on and shit like that, and already that intimacy was kind of bizarre. I think people have the misconception that as actors it's super fun to do sex scenes, and usually, at least in my experience, it's incredibly awkward and like...
I think for a guy like you who's been with the same girl since 1994,
a
sex scene would be like, yeah, babe, I wasn't didn't like it at all.
It's actually incredible. At least when the few times I've had it happen, it's been weird because like, there's like cameras all around you and it's more like a choreographed fight minus
you're trying
the
to concentrate
hitting.
More on like making it look real than actually acting like it's real.
No, I was trying to act like it's real, but also try and not act like it's too real and want to salute the camera.
Now wait, so whenever you shot, do you wear special underwear? Because they had me wear like some special stuff. So
I still had underwear on, and it was just like heavy grinding.
Just
basically.
One pair of underwear.
I doubled down.
So what they did for me, because they're like, we need to strap this thing down.
We need to get this anaconda under control.
This guy's wild. We know he's gonna get wild in the sheets. So basically,
crazy guy, physical comedian over here, getting boners and stuff on sets. Okay,
so so they made me put on a dancer belt, which is like a flesh colored, like it keeps everything down.
Yeah,
and then they had me put on a pair of tight whitey tighties, and then they had me put down a pair of skin colored like Spanx. So.
Jesus.
It was impossible for me to get a boner. So
I'm surprised that you still have a working dick after all that.
Well, they strapped it down, like very, it was very secure. And then, you know, it's the sex scene started and all that stuff. And my body's like, all right, it's go time. Yeah. And then my penis is like, no, it's not. And it held it down and I was like in pain.
Oh man.
During certain shots. But, you know, guys, this is a great film. Check it out. Let's check it out.
As we, and, do we, I mean, you're a very funny stand-up comedian. Is there, like, I mean, you're a funny guy. Is there some funny parts of this that you bring out the comedy side of Jeremiah Walken?
Yeah, I review apps in the film. I'm an app reviewer, so I'm a very obnoxious like YouTube personality, and that's one of the reasons that they cast me. Is like doing crazy lunches and stuff like that.
Are there non-obnoxious YouTube personalities?
There's not really.
This guy.
Are we considered YouTube?
I guess.
I consider us obnoxious.
Yeah, of course.
That person on Twitter considers you obnoxious.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry about that. I was going to remember her Twitter handle. I forget, or his Twitter handle. I'm not sure. Her egg or whatever is like a Japanese anime female.
I can find out. It's on my phone, and we can apologize.
Yes. I can do that as well because I have my phone right here. So
there you go.
I don't.
It's like technology is everywhere.
I'm reviewing apps right now.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this app, HBO Go? Oh, it's great. They have all HBO on it.
Oh, man. I just wish they would sponsor us.
I know.
I feel like we were asking Jeremiah something, and then we derailed it.
Oh, he just asked me if I'm funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's comedic elements into it, but it's more of a, like a suspense thriller. But one of the reasons I got cast was because of I had like a lot of sketches and stuff. I got referred by our buddy Dean Del Rey.
Oh, nice.
We were sitting together at a party, and he's like, "This is really weird, but can I take your picture and send it to a producer?" He got a text out of the blue from a producer. That was looking for my type.
What is your type?
Well,
what was the breakdown?
It was like kind of hipster, kind of can pull off techie or geeky.
Okay.
I'm like, I can do it all of that, guys.
I'm all three
of those. Please cast me in this. So he sent them my website, and they checked out all my videos, and then we met, and then he came and saw me. The director came and saw me at the Comedy Store.
Nice.
And crushed it, everybody.
Just destruction.
Just destruction fest. No, I had a good set. And then he's like, all right, we'll talk soon. And then the audition process started, and then ended
That's
up
awesome.
Getting it.
Zing, zang, zong. Well done, man. Congrats. That's super cool. So I Lived. It's on Amazon. It's on iTunes. Coming out on DVD in a couple of weeks. And select VOD. Check it out. I mean, I love the trailer. I thought it looked fantastic.
Oh,
so,
thanks, man.
Congrats, dude. Really happy.
I saw half of it.
Man.
I was eating popcorn in the hallway, and I came in. I didn't realize
you
guys were.
It's good. I-Lived. It's not, it's like, so it's, you know, like an app. Like,
yeah.
I Lived.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an iPad, but. It's,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. iPad, I Live.
So I'm going to send out apologies to at Metaru123S. His name is Saj, S-A-J-J.
His or hers.
His or hers. Again, the anime, his Gravatar is an anime pink haired person. I got a little
Gravatar?
Heated.
Do you mean like an avatar with gravitas?
Yes, exactly. A Gravatar. I'm making up things, guys. I Lived over here. We're making up, Steve, all day. I want to apologize. I don't usually get into Twitter beef, so when people question whether it's not a guilty movie pleasure, and listen, guys, it doesn't matter to me. I get the pleasure out of every movie that I watch. That's why we do the show, to talk about it and to call out guilty things and to call out not so guilty things.
And I also think that there's a misconception that just because it's a guilty movie pleasure means it has to be a shitty movie that no one likes, but we do.
Right.
And I've always considered guilty movie pleasures, like, there are, like, Face Off is a guilty movie pleasure.
He rips a man's face off.
That critics happen to love.
Yeah.
But every critic who loves it recognizes that it's a ridiculous movie.
Yes. It's an amazing movie that's ridiculous.
To me, guilty movie pleasures have a sliding scale where they can be awesomely bad or just awesome with kind of ridiculous elements.
Right. Like, we're going to do Die Hard this year over Christmas time. Die Hard, there's nothing guilty about it. It's the world's most perfect action movie. Okay?
And sometimes we just like to celebrate awesome movies.
Yes.
You know? And yes, maybe we should do a spin-off show called This Movie is Awesome, like you said.
Yes.
And then we'll
sometimes
keep this just guilty.
But that being said, let's go into today's movie.
Yeah.
We're talking about The Warriors.
Oh, shit.
Now this...
Warriors.
Oh, we've got the clip.
Come out and play.
Do we have she says it Jonathan? Like 400 we have that times. That clip. I'm just really have the last is. Two.
Warriors, come out and play.
Wait, it gets crazy. This is the last one. Yeah, I mean, he's just getting angry at this point.
Oh, man.
He could have been a vocal, like a singer for a rock
he's
band.
He's in John Wick.
He's in John Wick, but he's also plays Sully in Commando. Did you ever see Commando? The Schwarzenegger classic?
Maybe at some point.
Get out of here!
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's an old movie. The entire movie is Schwarzenegger one-liners. The entire movie. He takes on an entire island of army people to rescue his daughter. And Sully, the guy Alyssa Milano plays his daughter. This guy Sully is like this little like ratty guy that's like being the middleman between this dictator and whatever. And there's a scene in Commando where he's got the guy hanging over a cliff like by his leg, Schwarzenegger does. And they just had a chase up Mulholland in his yellow Porsche. And he's like, hey, Sully, remember when I said, could you last? He's like, yeah, Matrix, you said you'd come in last. I lied. And he drops him off the cliff. It's so amazing. Good. So he's in this movie. He plays the guy who actually kills Cyrus. But I think before we get into it, we should do the plot in under 2 minutes.
Should we talk about when we first saw it?
No, then we'll do that after this.
Okay.
All right.
Josh has put the hammer down. He's in a feisty
Ben's
mood today.
Ben, you've been too consumed with your movie, Love. Hey there. Okay, and go, Ben.
So the movie starts off with basically all these 90 gangs corralling in this giant park or something where this guy named Cyrus comes out and tells them all, you know, we're going to keep the truce. If we all fight together, we outnumber the cops 5-1. And he keeps going, can you dig it? And then there's this incredibly conspicuous gun handoff to the Warriors Come Out to Play guy from the Furies, I think is the gang. And then
The Rogues.
He blatantly shoots him, and nobody sees it but one of the Warriors. Yeah. And then he goes, the Warriors did it! They did it! And then basically from there on, the Warriors are being hunted. Boom, somebody else takes
it. Jeremiah, go.
And then quickly we find out that no women are to be trusted in this world. Because every woman screws them over. One of their Warriors is at a park, and he might... have consensual sex, but
you're skipping over a lot.
We got to reset to the orphans.
Okay.
So they're trying to make it back to New York. They run into this orphan gang where they do run into a female.
That's right.
Has the world's most perky nipples. Wearing a bra, and she's just wearing a pink nightie.
And the orphans are just going to let him go, and then she riles everybody.
Yeah,
up.
She's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, this woman gets on the radio, and she's like, hey, big babas, come on and find the Warriors. Ain't no mountain high enough. Whatever song she plays.
Nowhere to run.
Okay, 1 minute left. Go, Ben.
Oh, shit. Okay, so then there's all these very overt songs that tell you the plot of where the Warriors are.
The gang gets split up.
They run into the orphans, get split up. This girl follows them for some reason.
She's in love with Swan.
They then run into another gang that chases them on the slowest moving bus. More of them get split up. One of them gets hit by a subway car, and then they never reference it again.
No.
Like you were saying.
Their main leader, who also looks like the Iron Sheik from WWF. He's
Dexter's
gone.
Dad tries to rape a girl in a park or have consensual sex, then gets arrested. Yeah, never mention that again. Yeah. Then they end up fighting.
Split up. They got to get back to
fighting the baseball gang.
Which is also
the world's worst gang, apparently. Yeah. They look really intimidating, and then they get their asses beat real fast.
They're the Yankees that painted their faces like evil clowns.
Yeah. How much time do we have?
20 seconds.
Oh, shit. Okay, you go. Take us home, Josh.
Yeah, so what happens is they fight this gang, and then they go to the next one, and this roller skating gang wants to fight them too, but they beat those guys up because they have like really long hair. They get to Coney Island finally, like, oh my god, we're gonna make it. Then they're like, come on, play. They gotta shoot out, knife in the arm, they win, they walk away.
And they're away, yeah.
Wow.
We're the best.
I'm pretty sure that every week we should just make you bring it home because you become a spastic toddler. It's like you can't speak. You're like,
done. Whew. And my friends, is the Warriors, the movie.
Shit.
Okay, so.
By the way, that shootout at the end is the most anticlimactic ending ever.
Where are you going to get away from? And then
dodge and then switchblade to the...
Where did that bullet go, by the way?
Because all his buddies were right behind him.
And he was, like, pointed right at his face. And then it was like... You see the gun go off first, and then the knife goes into the arm. You're like, shouldn't the other guy technically be dead right now?
He should be dead right now.
Yeah. which makes no sense. But then the riffs come in. They're like, we only had the most gang members in the city, but we decided not to track down the Warriors because that would have been too easy.
The leader of the riffs is amazing. Where my wife and I were watching this last night, and we cracked up so much. It's just a moody close-up of him with those really reflective aviator shades. And then somebody leans in like, hey, here's an update of exposition. I don't care. Tell him we gotta kill everybody. And it's like literally those scenes are just hilarious. Dude dips his head in, tells exposition, and then leaves.
What if he you know what he reminded me of? The dude that is like the head of the future in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. When they go in the future and they're playing the song, do you know what I'm talking about? And he's got like he's like most excellent. He's got the sharpened kind of Oakley black, like plain black. Reminded me of that guy. But he also reminded me of kind of like what white people stereotypically think of like a slam dance poetry in like the early 80s.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? He's like, I have come here to talk about myself. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Find the man and you shall find. And like,
I just spent 40 minutes of you doing white people's interpretation of slam poetry.
That's what that,
now,
that
this
was.
This is white people's, not Josh McCouga's.
No, no, white people in general. I'm not racist at all.
my God. Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, like, that Cyrus guy was trying to bring all the gangs together. Which obviously we know never happens. Like, you can get a ceasefire, but everybody wants to be their own
gang.
Here's
the thing. I've never seen this movie, and I know it's like a classic, and it's a cult classic, and
you've never seen this?
I've never seen it, ever.
Have you seen this before?
Nope. Watched it this morning on Netflix.
Oh, well done. Okay. So I was the only one.
It.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times.
So should we give you our interpretation having never seen it, or you tell us first?
No, you go.
Okay, because here's the thing. I can watch it through the lens of film history and be like, I see why this was important at the time. I see why, people made a big deal out of it. Why, if you saw it when you were a kid, you thought it was the coolest thing ever. But watching it now, it's like a West Side Story, minus even less sex, violence, and no colorful dancing.
There's
but
like all one the makeout
costumes,
scene.
All the costumes still. All the gangs, to me, were less intimidating than the Sharks and the Jets in the Warriors.
Simply based on costume.
The Warriors are supposed to be the toughest in town, and they have leather vests and the hairiest, white boy.
Yeah, they're all just like, they're basically, and he talked about it on Between the Sheets when he came on early in the show. Brett Ernst talked about going to clubs back in the day with just a vest on, like in those Jersey clubs, where you like just a vest on. So that's what these dudes are doing, like no shirt underneath, just a leather vest. It says Warriors on the back. Here's the thing, if you want your gang to go inconspicuous, which is always, listen, I love the show Sons of Anarchy, but there was always a plot hole to me. It was like everywhere they go, they know where they're going. They're riding loud motorcycles and they say Sons of Anarchy on the jacket. Okay, there's no hiding when you're wearing that thing. Same as the Warriors. It's like as soon as that woman from Carmen Sandiego got on the microphone and was like, "Hey, Bubbas, look for the Warriors." I think we have it. The first sound clip from I think it's like it's not "Hey Boppers, be cool." It's the first one, just like "Hey Boppers."
All right, now, for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action, I've been asked to relay a request from the Gramercy Riffs. It's a special for the Warriors. That's that real live bunch from Coney. And I do mean the Warriors. Here's a hit with them in mind.
And then it goes, nowhere to run to, baby.
Okay, so here's the thing. As I'm watching this, the first scene where they bring like 900 people, keep going, I love it.
Nowhere to run to, baby.
Nowhere to hide.
That's good. We should be a quartet, just minus one.
Where's John trying to kill him? Mike and Sink, Garrett.
We gotta take the alto. So as I'm watching this, when it first starts off, I'm like, oh shit. They're introducing like 25 gangs. This entire movie is going to be like
the Purple Pimp Gang.
Yeah, there's the striped shirt kind of like there's the mimes.
The mimes.
I was so excited to see the mimes fight, and then they never fight. I wanted him to be like miming knives and guns, be like, and the Warriors just like, what are you doing? And like, and it
that
never
would
happened.
Be the greatest gang fight
Why
ever. Just mimes going like,
and then just. Oh, that is so good. I love it. If anybody's just listening to this, they're going to be like, what the fuck are they talking about? Let's just mime the rest of the episode. No, but they set up like 25 gangs, like 90 different gangs,
right? There's the skinheads. And if you noticed, every car they drove around was just like a blown out car that they spray painted. Yeah. I want to know where they got this stuff.
They just stole it because they're gangs.
Yeah.
But then, so they set this all up. Then you see like 900 people in this, and Cyrus is really the longest speech ever,
yes,
saying the same thing over and over again,
yeah,
just in different ways. It's basically, just keeps saying, like, we're going to rise up together, and we outnumber everybody, but it goes on for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then they shoot Cyrus.
And it's like the scene in Dragnet, the first Dragnet with Tom Hanks,
yeah,
and Dan Aykroyd,
yeah,
when
yeah,
they
yeah.
go, and they're sacrificing the virgin with the snake and the pool and all the pills, and they're all, like, dressed weird, and he's on that pulpit, like, doing the Dragnet. Yeah. When he's doing, that's basically what Cyrus is doing,
yeah,
and his famous line, which is said a million times, is, I can dig it.
Can you dig it?
I can dig
it. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Wait.
Can you dig it?
I fell out of my seat when that happened because it's like, can you dig it?
They're like, uh-huh.
Can you dig it? And then, can you dig it? It was like a weird game
show. It reminds me
host.
Of the dad in Friday when he's like, better put some water on that shit. Like, that's what he's...
It's just such a weird, like, I'm not gonna get... I gotta... Talk from my diaphragm.
Can you play that again for us, Jonathan, real quick?
Can you dig it?
I can.
I guess so.
Can you dig it?
Sure,
okay,
I can dig
okay.
it.
Can you dig it?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Can gangs not afford microphones? I mean, guys,
come on, guys.
I mean, he's great at projecting, but not even a megaphone?
No. I mean, I guess that's why they have to have it in that amphitheater, like,
I guess
space,
so.
Somewhere in a park where a subway station just unlicensed all the gangs. There's no cops anywhere. The word on the street is all the gangs are getting together. No cops be like...
They roll up with like 20 cops.
Yeah, like, oh, it seems like a bunch of kids in a park digging stuff. Oh, can you guys dig it?
So,
play that again real quick, Jonathan, do you mind?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Now, I don't know if you guys remember the app Digg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
D-I-G-G?
D-I-G-G. Now, a good buddy of mine invented that. It was originally my idea. I mm-hmm. pitched it to him.
Yeah.
And we went into
you
a bunch.
You saw no money from it.
None at all.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Shame.
I know. And I went into the pitch room dressed like Cyrus, and I just was silent. And everybody really didn't know what we were pitching. They had no idea. And I just stood in front of 10 suits, 10 older guys, real stuffy in New York, and I just said to them right to their face, I said,
can you dig it?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Can you dig it?
Okay, I guess.
Can you dig it?
Here's $1 million.
And they bought the idea right there.
You know
wow.
what? I actually...
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know if you remember, there's a Nintendo game called Dig Dug.
Ah, yes. Dig Dug.
And,
classic.
Actually, one of the last boss battles you have to fight, as you're digging away at him, there was an 8-bit version of it, so it didn't sound quite like Cyrus. It was a little bit more like, can you dig it? But like, as you're fighting and you're trying to win this Dig Dug game, and then your character yells out,
can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I guess. I mean, you
can you dig it?
Okay.
And then it has a 15. Yeah. Then it has a 15
okay.
second
okay,
ending.
Yeah. I dig it.
Every Nintendo game ends with like, you won. All right. Cool.
Fun.
Why did I play this?
I actually
this
pitched
so
the Dig Dug video game. I don't know if you guys know that, but
you did. Yeah. You were.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw.
Year old.
I got no money from it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
weirdly so enough, though, Jeremiah and I both we got arrested like 2 years ago.
Yep.
And
I remember that
we were on a chain gang.
Times.
It was dark times. We were on a chain gang just outside of Birmingham, Alabama, for mm-hmm. 3 straight months. Summertime, sweating like you wouldn't believe.
Oof.
And we just had to lay fence posts down for Highway 118.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day, the foreman would get up on his horse and he would scream at just Jeremiah and I, because we had, you know, we were the smart Alex of the group. We were always trying to rabble rouse a little bit, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't.
You are a rabble rouser.
Yeah.
You rabble roused on Twitter today.
Yeah, I did. And
you dummy,
you dummy.
Listen here. You dummy, you'll quit with your mean tweets.
I said it jokingly, like, you dummy.
My bad, I apologize. And, you know, we didn't dig the holes deep enough sometimes, and some of those fence posts came out, and the foreman just would, in our ear every fucking day, he would scream,
can you dig it?
And we're like, we're digging.
We are.
Can you dig it?
What, yeah, dude?
Yeah, we're going as much as we can.
I'm like, fine.
Okay.
Hey, God almighty. It's like, can we give a buy a break on this one? I just don't. I mean.
Oh, how do you top that? That was amazing.
Well, I think you know the story.
Uh-huh.
Well, so,
oh, Jesus.
Now, here's what happened. Ben and I, we were auditioning at the same time. It was late 90s,
mm-hmm.
and
we were about 15.
Yeah, and it was a volleyball movie, and we were both supposed to play like the evil volleyball team, and I mean, we were in the audition room. We had the outfits on. Mm-hmm. And they're throwing balls at us, and we're just blocking and punching and thing. And then finally, I dove, and I missed it. And Ben just got in my face, and he screamed.
Can you dig
it? I was like, I'm trying.
Can you dig
it? I was like, I can't dig that well.
Can you dig it?
I'll try. And then they called the movie Dig It. Can you believe that?
We didn't get that, though.
Side Out. We didn't get the movie.
Oh.
We
should have gotten some kind of kickback for coming up with the title in the audition room, though.
I know. I mean, because we could dig it.
Well, no, we couldn't dig it. That's why we didn't get the job.
I know. We could dig the movie.
We dug the movie.
Yeah.
We
couldn't actually dig the volleyball.
We didn't dig the volleyball.
Yeah. Let's move on.
I have a question. So, watching this for the first time, like I was saying, they build it up like it's going to be like a 1970s Raid Redemption type movie, where like, once the setup happens in the first 10 minutes, you think, oh, fuck, the rest of this movie, they're going to be fighting 21 gangs. They're going to fight the mimes. They're going to fight the striped shirts. They're going to fight the guys with the colorful robes. They're going to fight the other guys with the different color robes. They're going to fight the roller skating guys, which they kind of do.
The skinheads.
The skinheads. The baseball bat guys, which they do. Who else? There's a random female gang. Yeah. The orphans. They're like, oh, they're going to fight the orphans. Yeah. Or they're just going to Molotov cocktail them and then run off. And then
super effective, by the way. Super effective.
Been there.
Don't
right?
really yeah. fight anybody except they don't. I mean, they fight maybe three gangs.
Well,
and
they
then
fight the
big,
orphans, sort of.
They throw a Molotov cocktail. They rip off the vagina of her dress, basically.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the movie, it's like eerily close to her.
Yeah.
Her no-no zone.
Yeah.
You know.
But you think he's gonna cop a fail?
Oh, definitely.
You do.
And then
this guy,
like,
he's gonna go Don Draper up there.
Yeah.
You know, like Woman Against the Wall. I'm sorry I did this. That's not bad on that one.
It's a very very misogynistic movie, guys.
Oh yeah, extremely misogynistic. Only almost as much as misogynistic. Have you guys ever seen the movie Streets of Darkness?
No. Sounds amazing.
Or Streets of Fire. What I call it. I was thinking of Army of Darkness.
Oh, I've heard about
Streets
that.
Of Fire.
Isn't it a musical or something?
Yeah, it's a musical action movie. It's terrible, but
I feel like
it harkens a little bit to the Warriors a little bit in the fact that like New York at this time of like the century and this time period was the most disgusting city you've ever seen. If you looked at those train tracks, there was just trash everywhere. Coney Island was a dump. Every time they went to Coney Island, like when he gets off the train, he's like, we ran all the way to come back to this piece of shit. We're like, yeah, because you guys treat your neighborhood awful and it looks terrible.
Yeah, there's
nobody to blame but yourself.
Commentary going on for sure.
But yeah, you're right. There isn't much. There is a ticking clock, which I like. And it's based off an old Greek myth.
Yeah,
it was, you know, this guy, they were trapped behind Persian lines after the Greeks tried to take over, some kind of thing, and they had to get back to home. Anyway, you think because there's 90,000 gangs, and the first time I watched it, I was like, where are the rest of the gangs?
Yeah,
everywhere they go, I want to see them. They have more fights with cops than they do with other gangs.
Yeah, where did the gangs, and every time the radio DJ person comes on like, all right, Papas, this time, you think, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And then even the end when they face off, all that happens is he gets a knife in his hand and then they just stand down and the other gang comes in.
The only time they ever get injured is when they fight the girl gang.
Yeah.
Not saying that women can't hurt men, because they can't.
It's okay, buddy.
Josh, is everything all right?
But they like, in the typical the way that women, sirens, if you will, sirens draw them into their club, which is a pizzeria, which I get. Okay.
Which is also the Starbucks logo. Keep going.
It does look like the Starbucks logo.
You're right.
I
thought you meant the pizzeria logo.
Oh, well, not to name drop, but I worked at Starbucks for 2.5 years, everybody.
That's big time.
Not to tap that, but I worked there for 2¾ of years.
No, guys, I've been there 2¾ of times. I'm not a big coffee guy myself.
Yeah.
There you go. We are digressing.
It just never pays off like I think it's going
to. No, and here's the thing is when Grand Theft Auto was coming out, and then Rockstar Games wanted to come out with a Warriors video game.
Where
they made one, but everybody's like, it's not going to do that well because nobody knows the movie that well. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go watch the movie because this was like 2002 or 3, I think. So I went and watched the movie and I was like, I don't really love this movie. I mean, I get it. I thought it was fun. It was a good time. But really and truly, I giggled a lot too because
there's so much duck face.
The line that made me laugh out loud, just because it's so ridiculous, is a different time. Like, you ain't going faggot on me, are you? I'm like, what? And that was like a runner throughout the movie.
He said faggot 3 times or 4 times.
And it was multiple just like, ooh, guys, guys.
Ease up on
Dexter's
the F-word.
Dexter's dad. Come on, Dexter's dad.
That's the only working actor that really
came
out of this movie.
By the way, Dexter's dad has not improved in acting since then.
I think
that guy is terrible.
He delivers lines like he's reading them from the camera.
In Dexter, he did too, where it's like, Dexter,
I want you to know that you have a choice in this. You got to keep the monster at bay. And I'm like, oh, God.
You're not into that acting style?
That's if you guys want to see that acting style in heart, I live currently on VOD, Amazon, and select
VOD. How dare you? How dare you?
Zing!
But, like, this movie, everybody... It would be a 65-minute, not even a 50-minute movie if there weren't so many shots of people just, like, duck face, like, staring each other down. Like,
and these guys, you know what kind of shape they were in? Is, like, the dudes that went to my high school, they're in, like, cigarette shape. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, guys that are just, like, naturally kind of ripped that don't eat much and, like, are always just, like, fighting and rabble-rousing. I said rabble-rousing twice in this episode now.
Hashtag rabble-rousing.
Yeah. That, like, you know, they're just, like, dudes that genetically, in that, you know, like, did you ever see that documentary? It's 18 minutes long. It's about a Judas Priest concert parking lot.
Absolutely not. Not what I've seen that.
It's amazing. It's on YouTube. And they, like, dudes in the 70s is, like, real flat bodies that have, like, abs and they have, like, jeans and they're smoking cigarettes and they got a thin mustache and they're, like, hanging outside their T-top. It's, like, a very stereotypical thing, and mostly Italians, because I'm Italian, and like half of my uncles look like this back in the 70s. And they'd have the jeans up and they like would wear the vest, and that was a thing. So you gotta kind of like put yourself back in the 70s, because there wasn't like 8 minute abs back then. There wasn't Bowflex, right. There wasn't P90X.
No, but also like no gangs actually. The most intimidating gang seems like it's gonna be the baseball gang. When
yes.
they set them up, you're like, fuck, here it comes. And then they pretty much dispatch them within 2 minutes with no weapons.
No,
my
they're
favorite
good with...
fights, that was probably one of my favorite fight scenes, because they were able to manage to steal a bat and then do this like,
yeah, yeah,
the same
it's like
fight
this
move
cross,
over.
Like, it's like, well, and then, okay, some of the choreography I have to get down on a little bit. There's one guy in one shot who's just holding his bat down and they cut to him and he's looking around and he doesn't even have his bat up. Right in the stomach, and they're just like, oh,
keep your bat up, stupid.
Keep
it
just
up, man.
Yeah, I remember that. We laughed so hard at that, too, because he's just standing around like, oh, what should I do? Yeah.
And then the fight scene, I don't care if you put a guy in rollerblades, roller skates, ice skates, anything on moving feet, he's not going to look hard. I'm sorry.
No.
And overalls.
You're going down, mister. Here as soon as I roll over to you.
Have you seen? And he does the seated roll and just like, does roll bounce. That scene in the bathroom, though, is pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. It's because has some good choreography. And that shot where he slow motion throws him through the stall is badass.
Yeah.
But that's like the only good fight in the whole movie.
Right.
And for a movie where it's setting it up that they're going to be getting the shit beaten out, they're also kind of invincible.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Warriors.
Hey,
but they're
the best.
Yeah,
we're the best.
I like how the guy at the end doesn't like fight it. Like, no, our group's the best. He's like,
the riffs are better.
Okay,
and then like the riffs show up on the beach, like Nicolas Cage in that movie where he plays an angel. City of Angels, where they're all like in trench coats on the beach, like doing yoga in the morning. They all show up. They're like, hey, we know who killed Cyrus. You guys are good by me. And they're like, all right, we're out of here.
Why did they just? Here's the thing. This whole entire thing gets started because one lunatic goes, hey, no, it was the Warriors who killed Cyrus. It was the Warriors.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
The entire thing has started because this one dude, where did the gun go? Did he just throw it?
Not many of the gangsters have guns in this movie, which I kind of enjoy that it's old school, like Braveheart kind of fighting, but
yeah.
In New York gang.
Yeah, but the entire premise is that this dude blatantly pulls a gun out in the crowd. No one sees where it's coming from.
Well, because they're all paying attention to Cyrus.
How could nobody around them go,
Ben,
holy shit, what the fuck?
Makes it a guilty.
I mean, can you dig it?
Can pretty, you dig it?
They were raptured by that.
One thing I'd like to bring
that
up.
That was the wrong word.
Is that,
I meant
do the orphans choose to be dirty?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Like all the orphans out there, like, I would be offended if I was an orphan watching this, like, why are they so dirty?
Like, here, we take baths.
Yeah, like, even
they live
their
in
shirts.
The nicest houses we've seen of the movie so far.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're like,
it looks like they just rolled around in dirt.
And their
dirt.
Leader has the worst lazy eye of all time.
Oh,
yeah.
It's for real bad.
Hey, let me tell you something. We're the orphans. We didn't know about the gang thing. We're the orphans.
Like, how come nobody told us? What, you saying we aren't tough?
Yeah. Look at my eye. Don't look at my eye. Hey, look at mine. Don't let you look at my eye.
Look at this eye. Look at this eye.
Hey, look away from this eye.
We were in the newspaper. Oh, you guys are tough. They're looking at each other like these.
And he carries the newspaper clipping in his pocket. He's like, see, my mom told me I could be in a big gang. She gave me his newspaper clipping.
Well, actually, his mom didn't tell him because he's an orphan.
It's like a stork dropped them all in mud.
They're all just pig pen.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were like, well, you don't have parents, so we're just going to put orphan on a t-shirt, and that's all you can wear the rest of your life.
And why is there the one random girl there? And yeah, her entire purpose is to just rile people up because they're like, you can go through. No, I want a vest. Give me
and
that those, vest.
And it's the nipples that really get the guys going, really.
It's true.
I mean, come on.
Nipples on a pink thing?
I mean.
In the whole movie, her nipples don't get soft.
I think she knew what she was doing.
I think so, too. You know what?
And then later on when she puts a leather jacket over her pink shirt because she's like, the cops are looking for somebody with a pink top. And I'm like, you still have a fucking pink top on. And then her weird monologue to him when she's like, I just want to get out of here. What did she say? I actually tuned out during it. I was zoning
we
out.
All tuned out because the acting.
But she was like, I've always wanted to escape and go places. And it's like you're going to like this shitty gang member dude who keeps telling her to fuck
basically
off.
Basically beating her.
He keeps telling her to
come on, you stupid whore.
Making out with her and then telling her to fuck
off.
He leaves her in a subway tunnel on the tracks, and she still follows him.
Hun, come back.
Like that is. And then the guy who gets killed on the tracks, and they never reference it.
No. And okay, so I think the most dynamic scene for me is when the remaining couple guys get lured by the sirens into their place.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's an awesome scene.
And they're like, they're hanging out, and the girls are just like dancing with each other, and they call
themselves.
They all
look like Gilda Radner SNL
characters. Yes, yes.
Why'd I end it with the huge hair?
Huge, awful hair. Like, I've seen girls like you before, and I love them. You're like, I don't know about that.
The most amazing dance sequence between the two girls over there, they're just like.
I was like, this is getting pretty risque for this.
Are we going to see titties?
Are we going to see some lesbianic action? What's going on? Because
I'm into it. And then all of a sudden, the one guy who's been sheepish the whole time, because he's like the most level-headed of the group, because he's not swayed by the sirens, he's like, oh, crap, shit's about to get real. It's like in Bronx Tale, when he's like, now you can't leave, and they lock the door, and then here's the line. I believe it's the girls are going to waste, the girls are packing.
Yeah. Chicks are packed.
The chicks are packed.
The chicks are
the
packed.
The chicks are packed.
Yeah. And, you know, it's. Here's the thing. When they were writing this movie, they went to Purdue, the guy that raised all those chickens, and he was like,
damn it, I was going to do a chicken joke. Fuck you. I got to think of something else.
Obviously the easiest one. And they went to him, and they were like, listen, we want to call the girls chicks, but we want to know like something that maybe like a chicken farmer would say. He's like, well, when we're all finished with loading in the chickens, we're like, the chicks are back. The chicks, oh, that's pretty good. Let's get them. And then they wrote it in there, and they're like, let's see if this works. And they played it. And they were like, holy shit, we got gold, switchblade, gun. And the girls are the only ones with guns? Everybody else is like, we got a baseball bat, we got a random piece of metal, we got a candlestick, and we got a chain.
The rest of them have weapons from the Clue
hockey
board game,
stick, yeah.
Except the gun.
One random hockey goalie stick in there, like Casey Jones from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And then the girls are like, we've got Uzis, guns, no wonder we're the best, because we kill everybody.
I'm pretty sure the girl gang is the best gang in this, because they give the Warriors a run. They are the only ones that defeat the Warriors, that kick them out and chase them off.
Yeah, and they slice the one dude's poor arm.
Yeah.
They got my arm.
Oh man!
No, I know
that guy's a
Jeremiah,
real big wimp.
You were, I know that like back in the day, were you and Yasser used to go to Chick-fil-A together a lot of times.
Oh yeah.
And I think I remember like being there the one time, and they ran out of chicken, and there was like six pieces left, and you, me, and Yasser fended off like the entire city of Los Angeles, screaming. Shit! The chicks are packed. The chicks are packed. And won. I mean, we won.
Oh, we won.
We were the Warriors that night. Yeah.
You know, my wife has two sisters and two nieces as well. And when we went on a family vacation, it's like it takes the women a lot to get ready. But once they're ready, once they have all their stuff packed, you want to go, you know. And the cab wasn't there yet. So I called the cab company. They're sitting out there with all their luggage. And I'm yelling at the cab company saying, shit, the chicks are packed. The chicks are packed.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're going to get pissed.
they're going to get real pissed.
They got all their luggage out here. Their makeup is melting in the sun.
I remember one time.
What kind of voice is this? Regis Philbin.
One time when I was moving with some friends into a new apartment, there was only three boxes left at a U-Haul, and some ladies rolled in, and they grabbed the boxes, and we had to scream.
You got there. You got there.
I got it.
You
got it. Slowly.
Weirdly enough, on Easter. You know, my family's big into candy, love our kind of things. My dad is a particular fan of marshmallows.
Yeah.
And we went to a CVS a day before Easter, and they didn't have any baby chicks left. The chick whatever. So me and my brother decided to go on a road trip across New York City via subway. And by the time we made it by the time we made it across the city back to Coney Island, we had found a large box of chick marshmallows and rolled into our parents' house. Little did we know that my parents had been kidnapped by the Gramercy Riffs, and we had to then go to a beach scene where I still had the box of chick marshmallows, and I screamed at the Gramercy Riffs.
Shit, the chicks are packed! The chicks are packed!
And then we just traded off my parents for the marshmallows.
That's pretty good. I mean, that all it took was some marshmallows to get your parents back. No money.
Chicks are packed, man.
One time I was at a dentist's office, and I was, you know, just waiting to get my teeth cleaned, and the doctor, I heard him scream, the chicks have plaque. The chicks have plaque.
I don't know if you guys remember the movie Dennis the Menace Walter Matthau.
Right.
But Dennis knocked out his dentures and put chiclets in as teeth.
Yeah.
And I believe that the original line when Walter Matthau as Mr. Wilson came running down the stairs to talk to Martha Wilson was...
Shit, the chicks are packed! The chicks are packed!
Because he was really pissed about his teeth.
And they fell out.
Yeah, and then they fell out. Mm.
Do we have more sound clips?
Yeah, we do.
Let's do some more.
Can we do the Hey Boppers Look Good? Now, this is the second time the Carmen Sandiego
Remember
woman...
Boppers. Be looking good.
Be looking good. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the woman from Carmen Sandiego. We know that.
Mm.
You know that, right?
Is it for real?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's the same woman. Yeah, she's like the
I can't tell because it's just a giant mouth.
No, there's nobody that has that mouth and speaks in that perfect voice. That's definitely her.
You're right. Nobody's got that mouth. Nobody.
And she runs a local station that apparently is only listened to by gang members.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she talks in thinly veiled code, so that maybe normal, like the prom king and queen or whatever that come on the subway train. Remember those, like, the whitest people on the planet with, like, the frilly, like, tuxedos?
And they're looking at, like, look at these kids on the other side of the tracks.
We better get up. We better get out of here.
Yeah.
They just look like they smelled a really bad fart the entire time they're on there. They're like...
And Swan doesn't take his eyes off him. That's a power move for Swan.
It's weird. That's how I feel every time I get on the subway here in Los Angeles. It's a terrifying place.
You've never been on the subway here.
I have.
Really?
Stop looking at me, Swan. I just went to prom. Please stop looking at me.
Don't drop your roses on the subway in a veiled use of metaphor that the roses is falling in innocence.
I like that when he goes, here, what's this? And she goes, what's this for? And he goes, I just hate seeing things go to waste. And I'm like, you guys are gang members. Yeah. All you do is waste people and waste your lives.
Get wasted. So this is the woman's last thing. And he's like, now play the clip again. Do you mind real quick?
Remember, Boppers, be looking good.
Now, okay, you guys remember Boppet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course. Big Boppet guy.
Yep.
Big Boppet. And we used to call our gang back in sixth grade the Boppers,
mm-hmm.
right? And usually, you know, on school picture day.
Remember Boppers.
That'd look good.
Be looking good.
You know how that goes.
Now, did you actually bop it with your hair? Bop it the thing that you skipped around?
No, bop it was like...
That's skip it.
Skip it is like bop it, pull it, squeeze it, crank it. Isn't that bop it?
I thought bop it was the thing for hair that girls did. And like
that's a bobbin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a bop it was something you did with your hair.
No.
Skip it. I'm confusing bop it with something else and skip it.
Skip it's when it went around your foot.
So skip it is, hey there kids, come gather around. Let's get back to town. Skip it.
Yeah.
Do a big jump to a hop. Skip it. Skip it and a screaming and a bop shabop. And the very best thing of all.
There's a
counter on this bar. So try and reach your very best score. See if you can jump a whole lot more. So skip it. Come on, everybody. Skip it. For the love of God, please skip it. I have a jingle career that's riding on this and a wife and kids at home that don't respect me. So skip it. Come on, everybody. Just skip it. Have a roaring good time with Tiger Electronics.
So I worked in an old stand-up bit just now.
Was that an old stand-up bit?
I said the guy that sang that song was like on the verge of a meltdown.
When we always thought that he wanted to sing, there's a counter on the ball, but they made him like wait that extra rest, and he's like, there's a Counter on the like, God, I just wanted to sing it in melody.
Yeah.
Oh, that was God. Amazing.
How do we not?
I think we got to wrap it.
Poof. I feel like we do.
But I think we got to. We just got to play the end scene, the most iconic scene of the movie that we've already played before. We'll play that going out. Come out and play.
Confused look from the booth.
Jonathan hitting the sound button. This guy made a career from just this book. Guys, that has been our Guilty Movie Pleasure episode on the movie The Warriors. Jeremiah, thanks for coming to join us. Man.
Josh, Ben, thank you guys so much for having me.
Really and truly, that was a lot of fun. You're hysterical, dude. It's like, bro, skip it. We took a journey, guys.
We took a journey
like,
today.
Like the Warriors did.
Guys,
we
had I was journey. Waiting for that plant all episode. Oh, no. Like, and I seized it as soon as it
you
came.
You nailed it. And remember, boppers be looking good. I'm Josh McCook. You can find me on Twitter at Josh McCook, and my show youtube.com/betweentheSheetsTV. Every Monday we release an episode. Ben
at Ben Begley Comedy, and my website benbegley.com. Gonna have some news real soon about the Funhouse Massacre.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Gonna be doing a social media push hopefully very soon, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for that.
And Jeremiah
at Jeremiah Standup on Twitter. JeremiahWatkins.tv is my website. And then check out I Lived. It's currently on iTunes, Amazon, and August 11th will be on DVD.
I Lived. And remember, guys, Bubbas, be looking
good.
Be looking good,
Bubbas.
Remember, Bubbas, be looking good.
Until the next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.